Hi, everybody, this is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Oh, my darling, not three times on the ceiling.
He's a legend, a gentleman, and loved by all who know him. And after 6 decades, singer-songwriter and master entertainer, Tony Orlando has recently hung up his live performance hat. A retirement? Heck no. The icon is just putting the brakes on touring, but has big plans in the works to exercise his impeccable writing chops. And you can still hear him on Saturday nights, too. He currently hosts his own radio show on 77 WABC. We were so fortunate to have him grace the Life Minute studios last month, just before his 80th birthday, to celebrate a remarkable career and an even more remarkable human being. This is a Life Minute with the incomparable Tony Orlando.
My first hit record came out 64 years ago, 1961. Most people think it was with Dawn, but way before that, in 1961, Carole King and I, she wrote a song with her husband called Halfway to Paradise. Went to number one for me here in New York, but it went top 10 nationally. 64 years ago, I'm 79 years old. I saw Elton retired. I saw Kenny Loggins retired. I saw Bill Medley retired. I saw Gladys Knight retired. I saw the Oak Ridge Boys retired. I said, there must be something to this. And here's what the something is. We can still hit the ball, we just can't run the bases. And basically what that means is, in order to do shows, travel is a component, sound checks are a component, cancellations at airports are definitely a component, delays are a component, bus travel is a component, and it's gotten to the point now where it's way above the opportunity to do the shows. Also, the cost of an airline. A ticket for each one of my musicians is almost $2,000 a person. The cost of a room. Just like all of us have costs that's gone up. So, and then you say, okay, what's the reality here? The reality is the audience is shrinking. They're getting older. It's time for the younger guys to take over. And after 64 years journey of a dream that started on a rooftop here in New York City on 21st Street, you know what you do? You thank the audience for their love and support, and you thank God. Music is a tool. You know, there's no boundaries. There's no borders when it comes to music. My palate has tasted the foods of 14 different countries. The song Yellow Ribbon has been part of many countries as a theme song.
We'll tie a yellow ribbon around the old tree. It's been free.
For instance, if you go to the Philippines, it was part of their culture now, because when President Aquino's husband was shot on the tarmac by some terrorists, they adopted the song as their homecoming. The same thing in Singapore. The same thing in Hong Kong right now, as they're declaring their democracy. Right now, they're playing that Tie a Yellow Ribbon record right now. The same in Israel right now. They're wearing yellow ribbons and hope that the American and Israeli hostages come home. So, you know, when you're part of something like that, and it allows you to be the host of a muscular dystrophy telethon for 33 years, and then you are able to raise hundreds of million dollars for veterans and the veterans' needs, you realize that having success or recognition of some kind, if you don't pay back, if you don't give it back, it's not worthy of you. That's just my belief. The first time I ever sang Yellow Ribbon was to welcome home the POWs from Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. 1973, I got a call from Bob Hope to come to the Cotton Bowl and sing that song. Now, I can tell you that the song was only out for about a month. Wasn't the number one record yet, but he had this instinct and he knew. And so we opened a show for him to welcome those POWs home. Changed my life. I remember singing this song, 70,000 people singing the chorus, Tie a Yellow Ribbon, 500 plus the bravest men I ever faced at that time in my life are POWs from Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. Their eyes hadn't even adjusted to daylight yet. They were tortured terribly. And I remember there was one POW that wasn't clapping and wasn't singing, and he was looking at his shoes, sadly. It was driving me crazy. So I went to Bob Hope. I said, did you see that POW? Did I say anything to upset him? He said, go ask him, Tony. So I walk up to this gentleman and I said, sir, I thank you for your service. And I said, welcome home. My name is Tony Orlando. I sang that song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. You were the only one not clapping your hands, you're looking down. Did I say anything to upset you? He said, oh, Tony, let me introduce myself to you. My name is John McCain. They pulled my shoulder out of sockets, then they broke my wrists in prison. I couldn't clap my hands, but what you didn't realize was I was looking down at my big toe, keeping time to your song. Moments like that make you realize what a blessing a career is in our business. The awards you get end up as doorstops, basically. And they end up in things in your closet that people go, when did you get that one? But those wonderful pieces that you can contribute to, that's really the award, is the give. I started auditioning by going to the Brill Building, top floor, walking my way down, and any office that said record company on it, I would walk in and play my guitar and sing my song. I kept going and going, no one signed me. I went across the street to a building called 1650 Broadway, which, by the way, is the other Brill Building. And I finally stopped on the sixth floor because someone said, the guy in that office knows Bobby Darin, and he was my idol. The guy they were talking about was Don Kirshner. I go in, and Kirshner says, play me a song. And I play him a song. And he says, I'm going to introduce you to two new writers I have. We're going to make records together. And he brings in a young lady, 18-year-old Carol King, with her husband, Jerry Goffin. And he says, Carol, play Tony the song you just wrote. I think it'd be great for him. And she plays, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And I look at Donnie and I go, are you saying that's going to be a record of mine, that song? He goes, yep. When he says, yep, Jerry Goffin, her husband, said, forgive me, Tony. Donnie, Tony can't cut this song. Tony says, what do you mean? Why not? He goes, Tony, it's a girl song. Tonight with words unspoken, you say that I'm the only one. But will my heart be broken when the night meets the morning sun? Is this a lasting treasure or just a moment's pleasure? Can I believe the magic of your sighs? Will you still love me tomorrow? No 16-year-old boy says that to a girl. And he was right, because no male singer, ever since the Shirelles record, ever had a hit with it. And the closest it came was the Bee Gees, which is a magnificent version of it that wasn't released because Barry Gibb said, you know why? It's a girl song.
Will you still love me tomorrow?
I always knew from a motion picture called Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly. I remember walking out of the RKO Theater on 23rd Street and 8th Avenue.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
And it was raining that same day. And I thought to myself, I'm the only kid in the neighborhood with one wet left foot, because I was doing that dance going all the way home. I'm singing in the rain. And that's when I knew, this is what I want to do. My grandfather was the first trumpet player in the Desi Arnaz Orchestra. And he opened the Coconut Grove here in New York. And he was the head of local musicians for Latin musicians here in New York, Local 802. So it was in my home. Music was always in my home. Haven't I been lucky? 64 years. I also think back, I hung out with the Rat Pack. I worked the same stage as Sinatra. I hung out and sang with Sammy. I did the telethon with Jerry. I was there with Dean Martin. Me? Really? You know, when Jerry, before Jerry passed away, Sammy had cancer, throat cancer, and they were doing touring together. Well, Sammy couldn't do it anymore. So Jerry called me, and he said, would you take Sammy's place? Check this out. I'm taking Sammy Davis's place, working with Jerry Lewis. And Jerry says to me, you do realize there's only three guys I ever worked with, Dean, Sammy, and you. You know, I've been so blessed. So, you know, 64 years to be able to say, no more airlines, no more delays, is good for me. It's the right time. What I will miss most of all is you, the people. Never lose sight that the people are the people that kept you there, the audiences. That it was never about you, it was always about them. But I, you know, I think I'm pretty good for 79. I think I'm still thinking clearly. And I think this business has kept me young. Because you have to keep up with things and it keeps you young. So I gotta be careful with this retirement. I might see you in a year and walk in and go, so how you been since last year? Is everything okay?
What's something that no one knows about you?
That I'm shy. I was always the guy that walked into the party nervous, that I didn't fit. That I was always afraid to say the wrong thing. That I was always too fat. Not educated, I only went to eighth grade in high school, that someone might notice it. And I found that most entertainers are shy. It's interesting, especially comics. They have a dark side to them. They're sad, but that's why they laugh. It's their medicine. And they figure, well, if it's good enough for me to laugh and feel better, it must be good enough for everybody else. But I think my shyness would surprise most people. I do Saturday Nights with Tony Orlando on an iconic radio station here in New York City, WABC. But because of streaming, we streamed to 173 countries. And because the records were international, I have a pretty good audience with that radio show. And in New York, in our time slot, we're number one. So I'm very proud of being part of the radio station. Here's a great thing. On that radio station is a disc jockey named Bruce Morrow. If you're from here in New York, you know Cousin Brucey. 1961, Cousin Brucey brings a 16-year-old Tony Orlando on stage for his first time ever at Palisades Amusement Park. Cousin Brucey is still on WABC Radio. Started in 1961 when he brought me on stage for the first time at Palisades Park. Guess who's bringing me out at Mohegan Sun Arena? 12,000 people will be there. Bruce Morrow, Cousin Bruce, we will bring me out to my retirement stage, the same guy that brought me out at 16 years old. Cousin Bruce is the only radio personality I believe truly has conquered theater of the mind, because what you see when you hear him is his kindness. There's a genuineness about Cousin Brucey that you can't buy. When he's, oh, hi, cousins, it's me, Cousin Brucey. Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, come on, give me a call. Oh, that's real. And has stuck to the ribs of every New Yorker, and anybody who lives in Jersey area knows that heart. I got inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame recently. Of course, that's Bruce Springsteen, Sinatra, Whitney Houston, Frankie Valli. What an honor. Because I lived in Jersey from when I was 13 years old right up until the television show. So Bruce Springsteen comes walking up to me and he starts singing Halfway to Paradise to me, my first record, 1961. I said, Bruce, you know the words to this song? He goes, Tony, you, before there was a Beatles, before there was the Rolling Stones, before there was the Temptations, before my first hit record, there was Halfway to Paradise. What a humbling thing. So now I'm at resorts doing my next to last show, concert, in Atlantic City. And of course, Asbury Park is right there. So who do I have in mind? Bruce Springsteen. What is he famous for? 3-hour shows. What does Tony say to himself? I'm going to do a 3-hour show. What happens? Laryngitis. I don't know how that guy does it. Well, one of the things that I noticed in this beautiful piece that you did for me back there is you'll notice two beautiful black women that I've had the pleasure to work with. Now, here's what a lot of people don't know. If it wasn't for them, there'd be no me. Because it was their talent that lifted me. I'll give you an example. If you love the record, I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye, it was Marvin Gaye and Dawn. That was the voices on that record. If you loved Shaft by Isaac Hayes and you heard the girl say, John Shaft, he's a bad, shut your mouth. The girl that said that, that's Thelma Hopkins of Dawn. If you listen to all the Four Tops records you've ever heard, it's the Four Tops and Dawn. So from the moment I stepped on stage, I stepped into good luck because I had those two women singing like they sang. And when I look back, I say to myself, not only did I work with these two classic singers, but Thelma Hopkins has been the longest running sitcom actress in history. She went from our show, 4 years, and a variety show, Tony Orlando and Dawn, to Roots. From Roots, she went to Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks. From there, she went to Give Me a Break with Nell Carter. From there, she went to Family Matters with Rachel. She was Aunt Rachel with Urkel, remember Urkel? For 15 years. Then Are We There Yet? Now she's with a show called Dead to Me, and on and on. And the longest running sitcom in history, I sang with. The one who sang Shut Your Mouth, I sang with. And the other girl, Joyce, who grew up in Detroit with Diana Ross and the Supremes, keeps the legacy of Motown alive by being a Supreme. Tie yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. When the British invasion came, I was out of work, 1963, 64. So I got a call from Clive Davis, who was the lawyer that signed me when I was 16 years old. He wasn't the president yet, he was just a lawyer there at Columbia Records. And he calls me and he goes, Tony, you got great ears. I want you to come to work for me. You're out of work, right? Beatles knocked you out of work, right? I said, yes, sir. I said, to do what? He said, I want you to be my general manager of Columbia Records Music Divisions. GM? I said, Clive, I never saw high school. I don't even know how to open a file cabinet. He says, you'll have a secretary to do that. I said, Clive, what do I do? He said, well, I want you to help songwriters and singers reach their dream. Use those ears of yours. So I go. And one of the things I did that helped me meet these two girls was I signed a young singer by the name of Barry Manilow. And I signed him and produced his first records. Signed him to Bell Records, which became Arista later, his label. And who ends up becoming president of Arista? Clive Davis. See how the stars align, right? He comes and he makes the artist I signed for him as a publisher, he makes him a star on his label now called Arista Records, which was originally called Bell Records. In my first session with Barry, I saw that Hot Buttered Soul. The background singers for Isaac Hayes were at the Apollo Theater. I want them on Barry's record. Lo and behold, they came into the room. And when I met Thelma and I met Joyce, I said, wait a minute, That's Dawn. That's Tony Orlando and Dawn. And I met them because I hired them to the backgrounds of Barry's first records. And that's how we began. Things that have happened to me. You know, there was a book called Notes to Myself. It was popular with collegians when I was growing up. And basically what it was a diary. And it blew my mind. It sold 5 million copies, by the way, in the 60s. It was one of those college books, this big, this thin. I opened it one day and I read a line I never forgot. It said, fame isn't really fame at all. It only appears that way from a distance. It's much like a mirage. It's much like a rainbow. You can see it, but you can walk through it. You can't taste it. You can't hold it. But I dare you to tell me it's not there. So fame is an illusion. The only time you can recognize fame, in my opinion, is retrospectively. So when you look back, I go, holy mackerel, I worked with Clive Davis? Wait a minute. The Beatles covered one of my records called Beautiful Dreamer. Hold on. Elvis Presley loves Halfway to Paradise. Wait a second. And on. And as you go retrospectively back, you know what you do? You inhale the rainbow. Has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Every time I think about an idea for a movie, the juices start building up. I get excited. Every time I think about a play I might write, or a song I'm going to write, or a new lyric. So everybody out there who has supported me all these years, and I see the mail, you're worried about me? Wait. As Al Jolson said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.